We want to turn in our Bibles today to the book of Numbers, chapter 6. The book of Numbers, chapter 6. And we're facing a new year. I know we know that. But I believe it's going to be a new year of God's blessing. There will be challenges, as there is in any year and every year. But God is still God. He's not changed. He doesn't need to change. He's always perfect. But He's able to change us, and we need His change in our lives. Praise the Lord. And I just want to focus on the new year of God's blessings today, and I'll read the priestly prayer that's in Numbers chapter 6, verse 22, where it says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to Aaron and his sons," those were the priests, "saying, This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put My name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Praise God. Thank God for His blessings. There have been numerous. There have been many. Amen. Father, I thank You, God, for Your word today, and I pray, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would anoint Your servant to bring forth the truth of Scripture. Help us, Lord, just to rejoice in the blessings that You've given unto us. We praise You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. New year of God's blessings. This has been a long year. And I guess it's just the same as any year. 365. Anyway. If you're wondering, it's only about 360 shopping days left of Christmas. I'm sure that mattered. But it's been a year of uncertainty, a struggle with pain. We've watched a virus take countless lives, even ministers, ministers' wives. And people we knew and people we loved have gone on. But let me tell you something. If people that died in Christ, they've reached their final destination, and they don't want to come back here. We want to go where they are. Jobs have been lost, businesses have shut down, and churches have been forced to close their doors. And we've witnessed division and violence in our nation. And we've felt the sting of racism and deep heartache and hate in our country as the works of the flesh have been evident throughout. There have been times where it has been difficult to see the hand of God in this, but I want to tell you, God has never been absent. There have been times, but even in the darkest of moments, God has been there. He's the faithful, present, and powerful God. I want to tell you, we serve a present Jesus, not an absent Jesus. He's a present Savior, praise God. He's a present help in time of need, and we need Him every day. Amen. I want to talk to you for a few minutes. Let's look at six things that Jehovah God is to His people. We find them here in this text. I don't recall ever having preached out of this. I've said it many times, prayed it a number of times, but let's look at the Word of God. First of all, God, Jehovah, is the blesser of His people. Verse 24, "The Lord bless you and keep you." Amen. That alone would preach from now on. I won't preach from now on, but anyway. Our world is under a curse. It's under the curse of sin. It has been. And the only deliverance from that curse of sin is through the blood of Jesus for a person to be born again of God's Spirit, and they're under the blessing of God from then on. But believers are blessed, and we're blessed to be a blessing. Amen. And God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, as the call of Abraham is there, God told Abraham, said, "I will make you a great nation, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I'll bless you, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and curse him who curses you. And in you all families of the earth shall be blessed." Amen. We know that is fulfilled completely in Jesus Christ, where anyone and all people that will call upon the name of the Lord can be saved. Amen. Not just certain ones, but all people have the opportunity to be saved. Praise God. And we are blessed to have the revelation of salvation for all peoples, all races, all genders, etc. Amen. And so we're thankful that God has given us revelation of salvation for all peoples, not just certain ones, not just certain few, not just selected ones, but God has given, granted eternal life to whosoever will call upon Him. I'll tell you, to the richest and the mightiest and the most powerful, to the peasant that works in the fields and has no reward, it's the same. And Jesus is the same always. And Jesus loves everybody the same. He shows no personal favoritism, but God has given a gift and a revelation of Himself to this world that people might be saved. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. We are blessed to have a revelation of salvation of all peoples. God owes us nothing, but yet God gave us everything. God did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up all for all of us. God gave heaven's greatest treasure, His only begotten Son. Amen. For us. And so revelation, God gives revelation of our need to deal with our sinful nature. And do you get tired sometimes of just dealing with yourself? Amen. Asking for all honesty, you don't have to raise your hand. To deal with our sinful nature, to deal with our emotions. And God is the blesser of His people that God deals with our emotions. He made us emotional people. Amen. Some of them that go over the edge either way, one way or the other, a lot of times over various things that happen. God gave us, there are emotions there. There are hate, fear, anger, frustrations. Did God give us hate? Yeah, God intended for us to hate sin and what it does to people, but not to hate each other. And there's fear in our world. There's anger in our world. There's frustrations of every kind that you can think of within our world. Amen. To see people in frustration, all you have to do is drive in, Dallas traffic or Tyler traffic. Equipment traffic, maybe some here even. Man. And so we know that emotions are here, they happen, but God gave us power. And God intends to be in charge and be Lord of our emotion life as well. And God has given us revelation that we need to let go of things that hinder our walk with God. And God has given revelation of His love for our eternal souls. And God has blessed us. We are in a blessed nation. We know that. Amen. We take it for granted too many times. We have food to eat and clothes to wear. We got a place to stay. Amen. Jesus promised all this in Matthew chapter 6. He says, why do you take care or worry about tomorrow? You know, tomorrow will have its own things to worry about. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That is food to eat, clothes to wear, a place to stay. God's got things taken care of. And you and I as a nation, we do not know what it is to do without. We've had so much of God's blessings, we don't wonder if we're going to eat. We're under what we're going to eat and how often we're going to eat. And I've made a way of my own to saying that I eat to live, but I don't live to eat. Man, might help you. But God has blessed us with eternal hope. There's a story just this week of a young woman who was raised in church, sat in the pews, her parents took her to church every service, and it's kind of like I grew up. You couldn't have church without us. May have wanted to, but you couldn't. And so she was raised in church, but then, as many people do, in her teen years, she began to stray from God and got hooked on pornography. I thought only men got hooked on that, but no, women do too. And she was in a series of bad relationships, but she came to God and repented of her sins. Said, God, would you please forgive me and deliver me? And God restored her completely to fellowship with Him and delivered her from the porn and from the bad relationships. When she repented, I want to tell you, she's blessed today because of God is good. God is the blesser of His people. Amen. And this shows God's love for the sinner. And God loves the sinner. He doesn't love his sin, but He loves the sinner. And I'm glad that He does, because none of us would be saved if God didn't love the sinner. And God has love for straying sheep. And God has love for lost sheep. And God loves you and wants you to progress in faith. Amen. He loves you. And we're a blessed people today because God cares. And God saved a sinner such as I. Amen. Paul writes to his son Timothy in the faith and says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." And so Paul had a reason to praise and to worship God, because God saved him from being a persecutor of the church to a proclaimer of the blessed gospel. Amen. And so we're a blessed people. And so God is the blesser of his people, and God is a preserver of his people. In Jude 1, it says that we're preserved in Christ. Jude 1. Amen. You say, what chapter? 1. Because there's only one chapter in Jude. And the word preserved means to be kept or preserved in the faith and the hope of the gospel. And we are preserved from apostasy, so kept that you will finally obtain salvation. Amen. Not that you're waiting to obtain salvation. If you're saved, you're really saved. But the ultimate of our salvation will be when we enter the presence of the Lord in heaven. And so God is a preserver. In the natural, God preserves us to keep us from being spoiled. You can take that in the natural if you want to. My mother used to can preserves and fruit and vegetables and can and freeze. Does anybody know what that is today? Amen. And so she'd prepare all these things, gather them out of the garden. Matter of fact, we ate more healthy then than we do now. There was no junk food. Amen. Whatever food you had, you worked for it. And so she bought a freezer. Let me talk to you about being preserved here. My mother and daddy bought a freezer when I was born, 9-4-57, if you're wondering what that is. It still runs today and will freeze meat as hard as a rock. Man, I'll tell you what, the people that make freezers have made a lot of money off us lately, haven't they? They don't last that long anymore. 63 years it's been cold. I'm not talking about spiritually, but anyway. Okay, and so she would put things in there to preserve them for the winter, and then we would eat all winter out of that. Well, let me tell you something. God is the preserver of us, his people. When you failed God, when you feel useless, when you feel unworthy, when you feel like a complete failure, I want to tell you something. God is preserving you. God has a place for you. God has not quit on you, and God has not thrown you away and pushed you aside and say there's no use in dealing with you anymore. I want to tell you, God wants to restore you completely. He's a preserver. He didn't save you to be lost again. He saved you to walk with him and to serve him. He has eternal plans for you, eternal place and provision for you. Yet I'm glad for the Holy Spirit of God that God sent. Jesus said, "I will pray the Father, and he shall send you another comforter that he may abide with you forever." And so the Holy Spirit is sent. And Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, when he's come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And God's Holy Spirit convicts of sin. You say, "Well, yeah, when I was lost, God convicted me." No, but when you're saved, God still convicts you if you've done something wrong. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. And says, amen, of sin. And he tells you what sin will do to you, how it will lead you astray, it will destroy you. And God, the Holy Spirit, of sin, of righteousness. And God, the Holy Spirit, makes us know that our own righteousness is not good enough. It's like filthy rags, according to Isaiah something. And it says that our righteousness is no good, but the righteousness of Christ is everything. 64:6, I believe. And so God makes us know that our only righteousness that we can have and we can face God is God being our righteousness. When we take Christ as our Savior, God sees us through the perfection of his Son. And Jesus was absolutely perfect. He never committed sin. He lived the perfect righteousness of the law. He's the only one that ever did. And so by faith, taking his righteousness, God sees us through the righteousness of his Son. That's the only way he can look at us. But he does, thankfully. And of judgment. The Holy Spirit convicts of judgment. He makes the sinner know that there is nothing left but Christ. And without Christ, all that's left is judgment. My friend, you don't want to be under the judgment of God. You want to be under the mercy of God. Jesus took the judgment for our sins upon the cross so that you wouldn't have to take eternal judgment for your sins. God loves us. God cares. Amen. The Holy Spirit makes us know that Christ is our righteousness. He is our hope. And he is the one who preserves us. How many things has God preserved you from? We could take testimony right now and you could tell me many things that God has preserved you from. Amen. There's many. But He is a preserver. Praise the Lord. Not only is He the preserver, but He is the provider. And we like to think of this often, that God provides everything that I need, and God is the provider. He'll give me all that I need and all this type of stuff, you know. And many times this verse is misunderstood. Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Great verse to memorize. Praise the Lord. But keep in mind here, Paul wrote this from prison. "And my God shall supply all your need," even when I'm in prison. When Paul was in prison, he knew that, I mean, they didn't have all kinds of food there. They had what people would bring them many times, and it was not a very good place. Prison wasn't. And there was nothing good about it. They intended you to suffer in prison. And there Paul could write, says, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus," that God is my provider and He will provide. Let me tell you something even greater than that. There's revelation in God's word that God made provision for us through His Son. And that is pictured in God's provision for Abraham. When God told him one day, He said, "Abraham, I want you to go to the land of Moriah, and up on one of the mountains I tell you of, I want you to offer your son as a sacrifice, as a burnt offering for sin." And Abraham, the Bible says, the next day he saddled his donkey, horse, whatever he had, took servants with him, took wood for the sacrifice, and all that he needed, and they went to the land of Moriah to offer up his only son. They came near the mountain and they went, and he told his servant, "You stay here and I and the son will come back to you." So he went to the mountain, and Isaac asked his father, he said, "Father, we have the wood, we have the for sacrifice, but where is the lamb that is to be offered?" And Abraham responded, he says, "My son, God will provide Himself a lamb." And we know that Abraham took his son, bound him hand and feet, put him up on the altar, and stretched forth his knife to slay his own son. And God called out to him from heaven and said, "No, don't do that. Now I know that your commitment to me is real." And there was a ram caught in the thicket, and Abraham took the ram caught in the thicket and offered it up in the place of his son. Let me tell you something. God provided for us. There was nothing to substitute. There was nothing that could take Christ's place. It took the perfect righteousness of God, His Son, to be offered up for us. And God provides for us today. I want to tell you, He is the God who provides. He is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will see and the Lord will provide. And God provides forgiveness and reconciliation. How many times have you failed God and said, "God, I need to be forgiven"? Amen. "God, I need your forgiveness. Would you please forgive me for what I said or did or thought or did to any person?" And God has been faithful to forgive you and to restore you completely. Let's remember that. If God is merciful to us, God expects us to be merciful to other people. As a matter of fact, Jesus says, if you don't forgive people their sins, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your sins. So we need to be forgiving. Amen. You say, "Well, there's things I just can't forgive people of." Let me ask you something. Is there something that you've done that God can't forgive you of? No. And you expect God, so God expects us to be forgiving as well. God will test you in that area. I know by experience. But when you have failed God and feel unworthy and complete failure, God provides for you. What if you couldn't be forgiven? What if you couldn't be restored? If it couldn't be, heaven would be empty and hell would be full. But God forgives and God restores and God provides His unending and unchanging love. I'm glad that God's love doesn't change. Say, "I love you a little bit now, but I might love you later if you act better." No, God loves us the same. He doesn't love everything we do. He doesn't love every behavior, every response to every word that we say or every response to people. No, He doesn't love everything about us, but He loves us. He loves our soul. And He's willing to work with us And God does not intend for us to stay just like we are. God intends us to progress in the faith and our trust in Him and recognize that He is the provider. Everything that we have is good and comes from Him. That every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness nor shadow of turning. Hallelujah. And He provides His unchanging and unending love. Amen. Verse 25 kind of alludes to that. It says, "The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you." That God will give you His favor, His grace. And I'm glad that God, for God's grace, because He needed an awful lot from me. Amen. And His grace is sufficient. His strength is perfected in our weakness. We're weak, but He's strong. Amen. Number four, God is the lover of His people. Verse 26, "The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace." Love is the theme of the Bible. Amen. There would be no reason for Scripture to be written if God didn't love us. But God does love us. That's the good news. And God's the lover of His people. Amen. And God loved Israel. And there would be a world witness to the one true God through this nation. Finally, Jesus would come through Abraham's descendants. And finally, the church, the nation through which the Savior would come as Christ, would be revealed to the world as the Savior of all peoples of all times. And God so loved the world, God so loved the sinner, God looked beyond our fault and saw our need. Our need was redemption. Our need was forgiveness of sins. Our need was restoration of fellowship with God, which we lost in the Garden of Eden and lost when the sin nature came upon us. But God cares and God loves. In New Testament, I know you're anxious to get to the New Testament. Yes, me too. In 1 John 3 and 1, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God." Amen. Have you ever had a person that you just couldn't stand to be around, you just didn't like very good, and say, "I'm glad they're not in my family"? But God didn't do that to us. He says, "What love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him." But He says to the New Testament church, if you're a believer today, now we are the children of God. Not tomorrow, not some other time, not just perhaps if things go well, but now we are the children of God. It's not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, Christ, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Praise the Lord. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Praise God. So God is the lover of His people. And God loved Israel, and God still loves Israel. And God promised them land that would be theirs forever. Now, I don't care what the UN or what everybody else says or thinks, that land belongs to God and God's people, and they're not going to take it away from Him. And so, I'm not here to give a news report of any kind, but I'm just saying that's a promise of Scripture. God told Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, "I've got to give you this land forever." And it's their place. That's where Jesus is coming back to one day. Praise the Lord. And so God loved us when we were unlovable. When we were enemies, God loved us. Romans 5 and 10, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." The word "reconciled" there could actually be translated "have a paid account." And Jesus paid the account for us, took away our debt of sin. Amen. And God loves you, wants you to progress in your faith. God doesn't want you to stay where you are. God wants you to progress in your faith. God wants you to walk by faith in this new year. The Bible says we walk by faith or not by sight. When I was a kid growing up, you didn't dare look around when you were praying over the food at lunch. My mother didn't want you to do that. I don't know why she was watching to see if I did or not, but she did. I told her the Bible does say watch and pray. That didn't seem to help any. "For we walk by faith and not by sight. Things will change. People will change. Political things will change. But God's love will not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Bible tells us we're blessed. You and I are a blessed people. The just shall live by faith. Amen. We walk by faith. We live by faith. What we cannot see, I can't see heaven. I can't see Jesus personally right now. But I know He's here. I know He's alive. I know He's coming back again. I've experienced His presence, His power. You have too. He's your Savior. He's your Lord, your Redeemer, your King. We've got a reason to live. We've got a reason to shout for joy because the Lord God omnipotent reigneth forevermore. Hallelujah. And so is the lover of His people. Likewise, He is a caretaker of His people. A caretaker is one who takes care of someone who can no longer take care of themselves. You can say, well, I've got this thing. I can do all these things by myself. I can take care of myself. You know? No, you can't. Because God saw you needed more. Amen. And God sent His Holy Spirit, the Comforter, Greek parakletos, meaning one called alongside to help. And because it's translated helper in the New King James. And things will change. People will change, but God has sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, one called alongside to help. Holy Spirit, the one who's been sent to help, to lead, to guide, to instruct, and to reveal things to us. We are blessed that God sent His Holy Spirit. He told His disciples, He says, I will not leave you comfortless, literally translated, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. I will send the Holy Spirit to you. And I believe the thing that's lacking in the church world today, and especially the Pentecostal church, is people being baptized and filled with the Spirit. Amen. I want it to be where our sons and our daughters, our kids, our grown people, young people, whoever they may be, if they've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ on the way to heaven, yes. But they need the Holy Spirit's guidance and grace and strength, need to be full, overflowed with God's Holy Spirit, just like they were on the day of Pentecost. Amen. The disciples, they were already saved on the day of Pentecost. They saw Jesus die, rise again from the dead. They believed in the resurrected Christ. They believed their sins were forgiven. They believed that He paid for their sins. But Jesus said, I want you to tarry in Jerusalem until you're clothed with power from on high. And so they needed that, and we need that today. We don't need less of God. We need more of God. We need God's help. Amen. And we're blessed because God has given us these things. And no doubt, here in the 26th verse of our text, He says the last few words, and give you peace. From a Christian point of view, in comparing the counterpart benediction of 2 Corinthians 13 and 14, these kind of go together. 2 Corinthians 13 and 14 says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, 1, the love of God, 2, 3, the communion of the Holy Spirit, clear witness to the Trinity here. Jesus Christ, love of God, the Holy Spirit, be with you. Amen. That's what God, Paul told the Corinthian church through the inspiration of the Spirit. Amen. And so you see, if we make a comparison with our text that I read into 2 Corinthians 13 and 14, God's going to take care of us. Amen. And this year can be a year of God's blessing if we'll seek God with all our heart. Word of God says we'll seek Him and find Him when we search for Him with all of our heart. There can be things happen, and maybe things happen in this present age, in this coming year, that, hey, God, there's no answer but You. It happens every year. We need God every year. We need God this year. We need to lay aside some things. Amen. Maybe some food. Amen. Lay aside some things. Amen. If we'd fast TV for a month, we'd probably have a revival. Amen. Fast news some. Amen. I need to do that too. Not asking you to do anything I won't do, but if we'll fast and pray and put something else, put God in the place of something else, it'll be what it's supposed to be. We can have a revival in our church, a revival in our town, a revival in our nation. Amen. And we need God. And let's let this be a year of God's blessing. That's God's will. Amen. Praise the Lord.